Well, hey, Cross Point Church, how are you tonight? We are so glad that you are here today. I'm so glad to be here today, and I want to especially welcome those of you that may be joining us online. Just so glad. Hey, listen, anytime you have Ted Lasso in church, come on. Any Ted Lasso fans in the house? Okay, we got a few. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I am so honored to have the privilege of serving as the interim executive pastor here at Cross Point. Excited about the chance to share tonight and toward the end of the month. But a few weeks ago, when Kurt called and asked if I would consider joining the Cross Point team for part of the summer, I knew there was no way I could say no. I have such a deep amount of respect for your pastor, Kurt, and for Julie. They are wonderful people and incredible leaders, and they're raising some amazing children, and just so glad that this summer that they're going to have the opportunity to take their full study break and creative hiatus. And again, I'm excited to be in the mix, excited to be in this moment with each of you. It's been so fun over the last couple of weeks to interact with the staff. What a tremendous team you all have. You know that, right? What a tremendous team. Just fantastic. And couldn't be more honored to be in the mix over the next few weeks. Hey, I'm going to have the opportunity this month to teach this weekend and then the last weekend of the month. And I want to do a mini two-part series. And I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes, so kind of shelf that for a second. And I want to take just a moment and introduce my family to you. 22 years ago, my family and I planted and pastored a church on the north side of Cincinnati in the community a lot like Fishers, and Journey was a lot like Cross Point. For the past 6 years, I've had the opportunity to serve healthy growing churches, and if you're wondering what I do, at the core, I'm a pastor's pastor. You ever wonder who pastors the pastors? I just really feel a deep sense to get into the trenches with leaders and just encourage and cheerlead and support. And it's just been a lot of fun over the last few years to be able to do just that. I do travel a great bit, and when I do, I like to take my family with me. I think we have a picture of my family. This is my crew. So in the middle there, the beautiful blonde is my wife, Andrea. We've been married almost 31 years. She is my best friend and the love of my life. She's a registered nurse. She's one of the most caring, gifted people that I know. She gave our family two beautiful children. My son there in the middle, who's sporting the what now is a trendy mustache. Have you ever noticed that? Mustaches have made a comeback. He had the mustache before mustache was cool. That's his beautiful wife there in the lower left-hand corner. They live in Cincinnati. They're graduates of Ohio State University. More on them in a minute. My daughter, lower right, just graduated from Anderson University and just moved to Indianapolis. Can I get a woo-woo for Indianapolis? She graduated from Anderson, and she now lives in Brownsburg working for a company here in Indy. She has a big girl job. She makes big girl money, and she's off dad's payroll. Can we celebrate? In the back left corner is the newest addition to our tribe, Brody from Brownsburg, as he's affectionately referred to in our family. And she and Hannah started dating almost a year ago. And 2 weekends ago, he asked for our blessing to give her a ring and to marry Hannah. So big things happening in our family these days. But just this afternoon, I mean, literally as I'm driving over here, my daughter-in-law is giving birth to our first grandchild, and I don't know if the team was able to make this happen. I would like for you to meet Truman Isaac Plank, born this afternoon about 2:45 or so. I'm not sure exactly on the time. I got a little crazy, and I want you to know I've officially turned off my cell phone and turned off my watch, shut off the internet from my iPad. I will get no notifications for the next 25 minutes. It's been a crazy afternoon and evening, but we could not be more excited and proud, and I just had to share that moment with you all. So, a really cool connection that will forever be embedded in my heart and my mind is I learned that our first grandchild had come into this world in the lobby of Cross Point Church. You have those things in your life, right? When you heard something or you experienced something, you remember where you were. We will forever be connected. Well, to today's topic, you may be wondering why we showed the Ted Lasso clip. And I'm going to talk about that more in just a few minutes, but you just have to know up front, I am a huge Ted Lasso fan. Probably what would be better described as a Ted Lasso evangelist. I believe that Ted Lasso is one of the greatest TV shows to ever hit television, and I believe Ted Lasso is one of the best coaches in television. I mean, it's phenomenal. But if you're new to Crosspoint, or you showed up at this place or online and you're curious about the church or the Bible or Jesus, my talk this weekend is going to feel a lot like a locker room moment. I'm going to feel like you walked into a locker room moment. And in some ways, you have. Tonight, my role is to play coach and to unpack in just a few minutes that we have together Jesus' game plan for spreading his love and his message of hope around the world. And you just have to know, I am deeply burdened for the things that I want to share in the next few minutes. So let me pray, and we'll get to work. Father, thank you for this moment, and we acknowledge your presence in this place, and God, we give our hearts and our attention to your voice. God, may you speak, and may we hear. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Go. One simple two-letter word that has the power to ignite impact in our world. I would go on even further to say that used properly, go has the power to create a ripple effect that can literally change the world. The summer teaching series here at Crosspoint is called Spark, and all summer long we've been exploring ideas that can bring about transformation in you and me and us in our world, and we've had some tremendous speakers over the past few weeks who've shared some incredible ideas that can ignite change. Today, in the last weekend of the month, I want us to focus on the word go. It's an important word in the Bible. As a matter of fact, go is one of the words found in some of the final words of Jesus captured in Scripture. And these sentences that I want to look at in these two weekends in July are what are affectionately or commonly known as the Great Commission passages in Scripture. It was Jesus's moment with his immediate team where he made clear the game plan and the playbook for his first followers. And let me just play my hand up front. I want you to know that the game plan and the playbook has not changed. Go means effort and action and movement. And go, set in the right context, sparks passion and purpose and intentionality. And if we use it the way Jesus used it in the context of what we're going to look at tonight, it brings deep meaning to the clarion call or our purpose as individual followers of Jesus and for us as a Christian church or Christian churches, even one like Crosspoint. So in the two Sundays I have, I want to unpack what I think Jesus had in mind when he used the word go. You know, there's so many reasons why the Great Commission passages are so important. But first and foremost, Jesus intended to paint this incredibly vivid picture of God's preferred future for anyone who would follow him. They were intended to be the marching orders and the game plan and the playbook for those first followers and even for us today to bring clarity to the mission and vision of any local Christian church. And the one paragraph that I want to look at today is from the book of Mark. And if you're not familiar with the book of Mark, it's a part of the second half of the Bible that's commonly known as the New Testament. And at the beginning of the New Testament, there's four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell the story of Jesus. And we have Mark's version of the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he says this. He says, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Jesus' message was simple. His commissioning was simple and it was clear. And for just a few minutes, before we jump into some practical ways that we can kind of really get after this, I want to highlight and quickly unpack some of these key phrases in this short sentence known as the Great Commission. Jesus first says, go. Now, we don't have time to deep dive on the subject, but I want you to know if you've crossed the line of faith and you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, going is the game plan and it's not optional. The word go in the original language is probably better and more accurately translated as you go. So in other words, for you and me, it means as we go about our daily lives in the places where we work, live, and play, there will be people. And these people have been placed in your life and in mine for a reason. And some of those people are far from God. And it's our responsibility to ensure that they experience and hear the message of the good news about Jesus. Jesus says to those first followers and to us today, go. He said, go into all the world. What Jesus was intending to say is that we've been called to be deeply and intentionally present, engaged in the places where we work, live, and play. You know, in the last couple of weeks, I've heard several people refer to this place as a launching pad. This building was always meant to be a place where people were inspired, encouraged, and challenged to go into their circles where their neighbors and friends and coworkers are to ensure that they hear the message of the hope of Jesus, even if they may never darken the door of this campus or even this venue. Jesus said, go. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus and you've been around the church for a little bit, you've probably heard this passage talked about, or maybe even some sermons from Mark chapter 16. And, you know, when you hear it, you kind of get a little nervous thinking about, you know, engaging conversations or preaching the gospel in your relational circles. And I get that. It pushes the panic button, right? But Francis of Assisi said it best when he said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. More on that in just a minute. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and I'm going to make this rather bold statement, and I think it's absolutely true, but Mark 16, 15 was Jesus's plan A for reaching the world, and there is no plan B. I mean, God could have reached the world in a variety of different ways, but yet he chose you and me, and he gave you and me the mission to go into the world, to leave moments and places like this, and go into the places where you work, live, and play, and preach the gospel, so that all of creation could know and hear and understand the good news and the hope of Jesus. Can I get an amen from the choir? Come on now, encourage me a little bit. I think another way to kind of understand this, historically around the church, we've talked about calling, or we've talked about purpose in really two ways. We've talked about primary calling and secondary calling. And the only way I know to explain this is kind of a rowboat illustration. So hang on just a minute. Let me kind of give you the definition. So secondary calling is unique to you. It's unique to your story and your wiring, your giftedness. Some of you are called to be teachers or nurses or accountants, maybe stay-at-home dads or stay-at-home moms. I don't know what you've been called to, but all of that is secondary. In the primary call, something that all of us share, it's not unique to me or to you, all of us share this primary calling, and we find it in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that simply says, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All of creation hearing about the good news of Jesus is foundational. The key to that is us going. So back to the rowboat. Think about yourself in the rowboat and think about these two oars as primary and secondary calling. If you have no oars, if you don't understand what you've been called to, uniquely gifted, your unique contribution to the world, and you don't understand primary calling, and you're not living into that primary call as a follower of Jesus, you have you're in a boat in the middle of a pond with oars inside the boat. Where are you going? Anyone? Nowhere. And if you have one oar in the water, and let's just say for the sake of the illustration, it's your secondary calling. You know, you're called to be an accountant, a nurse, whatever that is, and man, you're just rowing away. Where are you going? In a circle. But man, if you have secondary calling and primary calling, and you're rowing that boat, you have the opportunity to have movement and purpose and intentionality and impact and ripple effect. You know, when you read the Bible, there are some interesting themes that quickly surface. One of those themes, even with just a casual read of the Bible, is that God is ascending God. And the story that unfolds in Scripture, from cover to cover, story after story, we find a God who is sending men and women on an adventure, a mission. Think back to the stories that you can recollect, that you can collect in your mind. Just how often these stories find God sending someone to do something. And then in the New Testament, we specifically find God sending his son to earth to die for the brokenness of humanity. As Jesus was coming to the close of his earthly ministry, he shared some amazing words that really bring clarity and light to this whole idea that God is ascending God. Jesus said, "The Father has sent me, and I am sending you." God is ascending God. Friends, we are a sent people. The church doesn't have a mission. You know, it's really popular for churches to have a mission or a vision statement and have clarity. Listen, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church. The church is not something you attend. The church is something we are. And we live into that by going, by living sent. So you may be saying, okay, Tom, okay, I get it, all right, I get it, but how? What does it look like? Let me quickly share two ideas and one really practical way for you to get started. One, my challenge is for you to go and love. A casual read of the New Testament reflects one common theme. Love is one of the most common motifs in all of Scripture. It runs as this major thread throughout the entire story of the Bible. And as Jesus commissioned his first followers, there's no question he commissioned them with one clear strategy. It's this revolutionary activity of love. I mean, Jesus summed up hundreds of commands with two: love God and love others. Love is the greatest thing in the world. It has the power to end hate, to bring unity, to heal wounds, to bridge gaps, to help people find their way back to God. You know what's interesting about love? Before people often experience the love of God, they experience our love. And so the invitation today is for you to go to the places where you work, live, and play, and be kind, be caring, be a friend. Go and love, and sometimes use words. The second idea that I'd pitch on the table is go and serve. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he gathered a team, and his team were known as his disciples, and they were a kind of a ragtag group of people, and they didn't always do the right thing, and there were 12 of them, and two of them, James and John, came to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, will you do anything we ask? From you?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you want?" And he said, "Well, when we get to glory, we each want to sit on your right and on your left." Now, Jesus said to these guys, "You have no idea what you're asking for." And word got back to the other 10, and so Jesus pulls the 10 together, and he says some really powerful words. He said, you know, there's those who are regarded as people of power and they don't use it well. They misuse their authority. And then he says this. He says, not so with you. Instead, Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man, even Jesus, didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Imagine the impact we could have. Imagine the impact you could have. If you went into the places where you work, live, and play with a posture of love, asking one simple question, how can I help? I know Kurt has taught the BLESS acronym, but as you think about go and love, and as you think about go and serve, as you think about this whole idea of this being our primary calling, let me give you just a recap of what BLESS means. The B stands for begin with prayer. God, how can I love and serve the people? How can I bless the people that you put in my path today? And then listen. Don't talk. Listen. Listen to the people, their struggle, their pains, their hurts. And then eat. Man, the power of a meal, of a cup of coffee. Sitting across the table from one, someone sharing stories creates the perfect environment for walls to lower and trust to be built and conversations to unfold. And then it serve. You listen and you listen over a meal, over a cup of coffee. Eventually you're going to hear ways that you can help, ways that you can serve, ways that you can provide healing and words of hope. And then eventually you'll have enough trust and enough credibility when the time is right, you have the opportunity to tell your story. Cross Point, go. Go love and serve and bless in the places where you work, live, and play. You know, I mentioned Ted Lasso, and I don't have time to do a deep dive into all of this. And if you haven't watched the show, let me just, as an aside, just strongly encourage you to do so. If my whole life wasn't connected to my Apple iCloud account, I would give you my credentials just so you could watch it. But it's such a powerful story, and I would even go on to make this strong statement. If you're looking for a modern-day example of what it means to go, to what it means to go and love and serve and bless, if you're looking for a modern-day example of what it means to be an everyday missionary in the places where someone works, lives, and plays, you don't have to look much farther than Ted Lasso. I can take you to moment after moment in both seasons in almost every episode where we see a powerful example of a man going and loving and serving and blessing. And I don't know the creators of the show or the writers. I don't know if they have any Christian connections at all, but it's just this powerful, graceful example of what I think it looks like. So let me take just a minute and try to make this personal for you. So think about this whole idea of going. It's not optional, it's the game plan. It was the way Jesus intended for the world to be reached. You and me going and loving and serving and blessing, but let's make it personal. Who are your people? Is it your neighbors, your coworkers, your teammates, your classmates? Is it the people at your gym? Who are the people God is calling you to go to? Who is the people God has sent you to? Friends, this is not optional. This is not just for pastors or staff people or church leaders. Friends, this is the clarion call of every follower of Jesus. This is not optional. Who are your people? And then I would go on to say, to press you even further and say, where is your place? Is it your cul-de-sac? Is it your workplace, your neighborhood, your street? Where's your place? Where is the place God has called you to go? I mean, this is meant to be a launching pad. This is why this place exists. This is not a place to come and stay. This is a place to come and be inspired, encouraged, and resourced, because God is sending you into the places where you work, live, and play to share the good news and love of Jesus with people who don't know him. Church doesn't have a mission. The mission has church. The mission has you and me. Let me try to explain this by pointing to an illustration that I think speaks to the importance of why we must go. Lean in for just a minute, because this is so powerful. When I heard this several months ago, it shook me to my core. Our culture has changed in the last few years. And the gap between most people in America and a meaningful experience with Jesus has widened exponentially. And the importance of us being the missionaries, in other words, the importance of us going into the places intentionally with purpose, into the places where we work, live, and play, has never been more important. And to think about that, think about it in terms of cultural difference or cultural distance. So each of these mic stands represents the barriers of someone coming to a meaningful experience with the gospel or with Jesus. And they're different for everyone, right? There's language barriers, and there's cultural barriers, and there's family background and traditions and beliefs and history and religious views and church hurt. And man, if someone has three or four barriers, and it just, I mean, and most of the ministry that happens in the Christian church in America happens right here, where there's maybe one barrier that has to be jumped for most people, or for the most people that come around. But what about the people down there that have multiple barriers to jump? The cross-cultural work required for them to come to where we are is not only impossible, but friends, lean in, it's asking them to be the missionary. When for us as followers of Jesus, we're the ones that have been sent. We're the ones that have the mission of go into all of the world, jump these barriers, and go to the places where the people are, the places where you work, live, and play, where all of these barriers are alive and well, and keeping any of these folks from coming to our place. The invitation of Jesus is for you to go to them. Can I get an amen from the choir? You know, it's been 6 years since I had the opportunity to serve on a team like I have in the last few weeks. And to be candid with you, it's kind of put a little wind in my sail. But my role around the church these days is quite different than it was the first 24 years of ministry for me, pastoring at a local level in my beloved city of Cincinnati. And part of my role these days is to try to anticipate what the future might look like for the church. And here's what I firmly believe about the future of the church in the next couple of decades. The churches that thrive in the future will be churches that have figured out how to inspire, train, and resource everyday missionaries to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the places where they work, live, and play. Because the bucket of people that will jump barriers to come to our thing has shrunk exponentially in the last couple of years. And it's time for the church, not just Cross Point Church, but the church in America, to reclaim its sentness, to live into this Mark chapter 16, verse 15 call of go, love, serve, bless. So let me give you three next steps real quick. Are you ready? I hope you're writing these down. I can't see you, but I'm hoping somebody in this place is taking notes. Number one, answer the question, who are your people? God's given you people. God's given each of us people, friends, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, students. God has given you people. Identify them, name them. Put them on a post-it note, 3x5 card, something, a note in your phone, the names of the people God has called you to go reach. Where's your place? Number two, where's your place? Again, is it a neighborhood, a city, a gym? Where is it? Where's your place where you're called to be the sent missionary, where you're called to essentially pastor that cul-de-sac or neighborhood or that friend group? That's your job. That's your opportunity. That's your invitation. And step number three, John West was here a few weeks ago, a good friend of mine. John and I have done a lot of work together, and I really believe in what he's doing in the Pioneer Training Center. And we're going to be hosting here at Cross Point in August an opportunity for you to just hear more about Pioneer Training Center. But let me tell you what, at its core, it's trying to do. It's trying to raise up everyday missionaries who will be missionaries and pioneer new things in these places, in these spaces, in the places where you work, live, and play. And I want to challenge you to give John just an hour to hear how the Pioneer Training Center can help you live into everything that I shared in this moment and everything that I'll share in the last weekend of July. As I close today, I want to close in prayer, but before I do that, I want you to think for just a minute about how powerful this could be for the church and for Cross Point. What if everyone who considered Cross Point their church home began to more fully live into their missionary call in the places where they work, live, and play? Think about it for a moment. Use the multiplier, several hundred people times the people you could serve, the number of people that we could reach, the number of people that we could share the love of Jesus with would be exponentially bigger than anything we've experienced in the past. So Cross Point, I challenge you to go. I challenge you to love. I challenge you to serve. I challenge you to bless the people and the place God has sent you to. Father God, I thank you for this moment. And God, I thank you for times in our lives where you give us the opportunity to receive great clarity, where you make it simple and you make it clear for us. God, thank you for the invitation to go. Thank you that we are a part of a sent people. Thank you that we have a mission. Thank you that we have the opportunity to join you in your redemptive cause. God, I pray everyone in the sound of my voice will answer the call to go, love, serve, and bless. In Christ's name we pray.